Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, In the Light of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. We welcome you to our program dedicated to you, dear viewers. I'm waiting for your letters at our post box, P.O. Box 111, Sharjah, UAE. Please write in. Let us hear from you. Not getting too many letters these days, although we're getting a lot of emails. I guess emails become easier. It's cheaper. But still, we'd like to hear from you. Some of you through the mail. Those of you far away, for example. In the light of Islam, put my name on the top of the letter. Otherwise, let's hear from you through the email, as you have been sending to me at my website, bilalphillips.com. Go to the guest book, leave a note for Sharjah TV, or at my email address, fld3@hotmail.com. Let's go on with a letter from Miss Qureshi, which a couple of programs back we started. She had a number of questions remaining. I guess it's herself and her family. A question, hair dye. Is it permissible for people to color their hair, both young and old? And what have you got to say about using black hair dye? Not to color gray, but for fashion. We've heard that black dye is not allowed in any case. Well, hair dye, Prophet Muhammad had recommended that the hair be dyed when it becomes gray. This was the recommendation of the Prophet Muhammad. He said, dye your hair. So this is the circumstance, covering the gray, giving a youthful look to the Muslim Ummah. But this practice now of changing one's hair color, this week I'm blonde, next week I'm a redhead, the week after I'm a brunette, the week after that I've got black hair. You know, this is a Western concept, a Western practice where people are radically changing their looks. You know, you change your hair color to match your dress. This is Western. It has nothing to do with the norms of a healthy society. This is a fashion conscious, addicted to the fashion, way of life. Islam does not encourage this. I cannot say haram because in itself the act of dyeing your hair, I mean, it's something not preferable, but we cannot say forbidden. But where, you know, we're doing it imitating the non-Muslims, then it becomes, or it falls under the head category of the, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Whoever imitates the way of a people is of them. You know, so we have to beware that we don't become so influenced by Western culture that, you know, we are, our whole values have changed. You know, we're trying to be this and trying to be that and trying to look like this and trying to look like that. And colored contact lenses falls in the same category. Though it, primarily we cannot say haram, but they're discouraged. I mean, why do you want to have blue eyes? Well, because blue eyes has been promoted in the media as, you know, a standard of beauty. Blonde hair, blue eyes. This is sort of like a universal standard which has come from the West. A minority of human beings on the earth have this description. But so many people are artificially dyeing their hair blonde and getting blue contact lenses so they can fit into that picture. It's not good. This is something harmful. People are spending and wasting money, you know, trying to follow these fashions. So we should not allow our children to do this. Stop them from it. It's a part of an addiction to a culture which is not Islamic at all. As to the use of black dye, Prophet Muhammad did say, do not dye your hair with black. He said that in relation to a particular individual who had died, and they were preparing him for burial. He told them his hair was white, he said, dies here, but not with black. So on that basis, we accept the instruction of the Prophet and we don't dye our hair using black. The next question from Miss Qureshi or Ms. Qureshi: drawing, painting human beings, animals, flowers, and plants, is it allowed? Well, the drawing and painting of human beings and animals is not allowed. Birds, not allowed. Fishes, not allowed. Animal, plants, trees, mountains, the clouds, the sun, the moon, buildings, cars, the water, all of that is allowed. Ships at sea, all of that is allowed. But the painting or drawing of animals and human beings are forbidden, not just by Islam. It's not Islam just you know, in the final form which introduced this. This has been prohibited thousands and thousands of years ago by the prophets of God. It's still recorded in the Torah, or the Torah of Moses. It's mentioned there. You should not make any graven image, an image painted, carved, drawn, etc., of any living being outside of the animal, the trees, etc. Any living being that is in the air, in the sky, in the water, or on the land. Forbidden. Why? Because this is the door to idolatry. What, when we look at all the idols that people are worshipping, what are the idols of? They're idols of animals or human beings. That's the most common idols that people worship. Not to say that maybe people somewhere, sometime, don't worship something else, but for the most part, the vast majority of people worship idols in the form of human beings or animals. So this door was closed. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ mentioned that from the time of Adam, when Adam was created, and he was not only the first man, but he was also the first prophet, he was given revelation. The religion he had was Islam, and he taught his offspring Islam, and they continued to practice it all the way down to the time of Prophet Noah, or Prophet Noah. In his time, there were five righteous people who, when they died, Satan came to the masses of people and suggested to them that they make images of these righteous people, paintings, carvings, drawings of them, and they placed them in the places where they used to sit, where they used to frequent, at their graves. So that when people would go to the graveyard or wherever they used to sit, etc., and they would see these images, it would remind them of these righteous people, and they would be encouraged to do good deeds. The people liked the idea, it sounded good, so they did it. And that first generation went, and that's what they did. Whenever they saw the picture of such a white person, a good person, righteous person, they would continue to do good, and it would encourage them to do good. However, generations later, Satan came back to the people, who by now had forgotten what the original intention of those who first made these idols were, or these images were, and he came to them and suggested to them, the later generation, that really, your ancestors, your grandparents, etc., they were worshipping these images. And it was due to their sincere worship of the images that rain came in abundance, the fields yielded great yields, and the people began to worship them. This is how idolatry crept in to the world. And Prophet Noah was sent to call people back to the worship of the one true God, without any images and representations of that God. So, because of that, Islam has prohibited the use of images in whatever form. However, there's an exception made for children. young children are allowed to have images. They learn better by it. Dolls, pictures, these kind of things are permitted for children. Once they grow up, then we no longer keep these things. We remove them from our homes. So you don't want to be a 25-year-old woman and you still have the dolls that you had when you were a kid. No, get rid of them. Don't save them for sentimental value. No, they've now become idols. Get rid of them. As a baby, as a child, you played with them. Now your time is over. You no longer play with them. Get rid of them. So that's the general ruling concerning them. The next question, what do you have to say in the light of the Sunnah and the Quran about working women, especially those who don't need to work? Well, in general, we would say that the general or the norm for the Muslim society is that the man works. He goes out, he earns a living, and he provides for the woman. The woman stays home, she looks after the home, she looks after the children. That's the normal setup of the family structure and the workplace. That's the norm. Now, if a woman goes out to work along with her husband, then the children are now put in a creche or a nursery or whatever. Other people will be raising that child. That woman, when she goes out to work, she's making more money, makes life a little more comfortable for them. But what is happening to that child? That child is being denied, in those early years, the intimate comfort and love of the mother. Because no matter how well-trained the people of the nursery may be, you know, they've been Western-trained or whatever, they've had all this kind of training, the fact is they're not mothers. They're not the mother of those children. And they will not treat the children the same as their own mother. And they're human beings. How many cases we hear of where child care workers, people in nurseries, etc., have abused children? A woman is put with 10 kids, babies. At first, maybe she has a big heart, she goes in, she's taking care of them, she changes these diapers, and you know, she's doing this, looking out, feeding this one, and so on and so, taking care of everybody. But after a while, she gets worn down. This one is screaming, and that one's screaming. She's starting to say, why does it stop screaming? Why does this one say? Next thing you know, she's taking the pillow, put it over the head of the kid, and the kid dies. Or she takes up another kid, starts shaking the kid, stop screaming, until the kid, you know, the flopping of the head back and forth causes them to have brain seizures, and they die. How many cases? Many, many cases of this happening. So, mothers, your first responsibility is to your children. You should stay home and look after those children. Now, if there's something you can do from home, because maybe there's some jobs that can be done from home, then, and you have the spare time, then no harm, as long as the family doesn't suffer. And if you have no need to go out to work, now, what motivates you to go out and work? The woman says, well, I don't feel fulfilled. This is the Western concept, that a woman is not fulfilled. She is not, you know, fulfilling her potential unless she's out in the workplace. She's out there being a secretary, you know, driving a cab, you know, whatever. A bus conductor, she, you know, this makes her feel worthwhile. But staying in the home, this is like, you know, backwards. Hey, staying in the home is far more important. It's a much bigger job. And it's the primary job. I should also add here that when women go out in the workforce and they start to compete with men for the same jobs, what happens to those men who lose out? Now you have a man who has no job, who is unable to take care of his family. This is why the Islamic society would discourage women from going out. Let the men do the work. And if there is a shortage, that's another situation, where there's a need in the society, then people may come out and fulfill that need. But don't put men out of work. No, don't make men unemployed who need to work to look after a family. No, Islam doesn't encourage this. However, there are certain jobs that women are encouraged to take, to learn. The jobs which relate to education, teaching, for teaching girls in school, teaching young girls, young women, the teaching profession. This is a profession very important. So we have female teachers to teach our women and the girls. We also have certain professions which are also vital professions, like medicine. We should have female gynecologists. We should have female dentists, you know, and other professions which women need to deal with. We should have female bankers, you know, of course, in Islamic banks, where the females can deal with females when they have to deal in the bank. You know, wherever we can provide female people working, for example, in stores where they're selling lingerie, you know, selling women's private clothes. You don't want a woman going to a store, your wife or daughter, whatever, she's going to a store, and a man is going to be there, you know, holding up panties and brassieres and things like this for your daughter to look at. And no, it's not good. No, it should be, if anybody's going to show it to your wife or your daughter, it should be a man, a female. Female, so shop assistants who are females who are doing these things. So where we have these kind of circumstances, where there's a need here, then people may take these kind of jobs. Otherwise, for a woman just to go out and work for the sake of working, no. Better she stays home, she learns her religion, you know, goes and takes some classes and improves her knowledge, prepare her to be the best mother she can for your children. Because that's what's most important. For her to give the children as much as she can from knowledge of the religion, from proper upbringing, learn about raising children, rather than learn about it after you made your mistakes, you look back and say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Maybe with the next one I won't. No, better when we go into raising children, we study it, find out, learn. You know, there's a lot of information available to us today. We don't have to learn, you know, as we go. Learn from our mistakes. We don't have to. People have already written books and identified where common mistakes are, etc., and advised us as to how to raise children properly. So women should take advantage of that. They can help educate their husbands, you know, with regards to certain issues and practices, which are also very important. she has the last question, really, Ms. Qureshi's last question. Is, as for careers for women, how does a career in the field of human resources stand? Well, it depends on what that career has to do. If she has to be interviewing men all the time, men are coming in for this job and the other job, and she has to interview them and be constantly dealing with men, we say no. This is not a good field. If she's interviewing women for women's positions, then it's okay, fine, good, well. So the circumstance of her job will determine whether the job, you know, in other words, the job description will determine whether that job is acceptable for a Muslim woman or it's not. With that, dear viewers, I'd like to thank you for being with us in this segment of our program. And we hope to hear from you through your letters or emails or whatever, calls, etc. We'd like to hear from you and so that we can share your questions with the viewers and also to answer the questions for you yourselves. With that, I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.